The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the second half of the Perfect Little Accident episode. This is part two. Make sure you have listened to part one, where we talk all about Harper Avery and the fact that he's an asshole. And we learned about different kinds of sutures, because this is a teaching hospital.
Damn it.
And we're proud of that. And we're going to start this episode with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
We have three friends.
Okay. All right. Harper Avery.
Yes.
Okay. That one felt like an easy one.
Yeah.
Are any of them obscure?
No.
Okay. Because I was thinking that it could either be the drug rep or the nurse that Mark fucked.
Right.
So my other prediction.
Or the lawyer. I was really surprised Gary from Legal was not in Shondaland.
Yeah.
Sorry, spoiler alert. He wasn't.
That's funny. That's funny. I will guess the lung transplant patient.
No.
What about his sister?
No.
Okay, then the mom and daughter.
Yes, and yes.
To both? Okay.
Yes. Congratulations, you've done it.
Thank you. Applause. Thank you. I was going to get there. If it wasn't one, it was the other.
If it wasn't one, it was someone else, and then it was someone else, and then it would have been someone else.
Yeah, well, I guess that's one way to put it. If Shonda really wanted to be Santa, every person in this episode would have been living in Shondaland, but she is a cold, heartless woman.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Who writes great TV and actually does love us. I think we're her favorite podcast.
I hope so. Probably not, you know, the ones that she produces, but definitely us, the ones she doesn't know exists.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're her favorite podcast she didn't know about.
Chelsea Ross, but spelled funny, C-H-E-L-C-I-E, is Harper Avery. And he is in one episode of Scandal. Tess Harper is Pam Nelson, so the mom. She is
The guy was in Scandal.
Yeah.
Harper Avery was in Scandal. That's okay. Yeah. I think I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Just one episode, but yes. So Tess Harper, which is funny because Harper Avery, Tess Harper played Pam Nelson, so the deaf mom. Three episodes of How to Get Away with Murder and one episode of Private Practice.
Okay.
And then Annie Fitzgerald, who played the daughter, is also in an episode of Private Practice, not the same episode. So there you go.
The episodes, what did she do in Scandal? What did the mom do in Scandal?
She was not in Scandal. She was in How to Get Away with Murder.
Sorry, what did she do in How to Get Away with Murder?
It's a good question, and I'm happy to look it up for you, but I do need you to talk so that it's not dead air.
Well, I also want to look up, what was Harper Avery's name? What was his character name?
Character name is Harper Avery. His human name. But it's Chelsea C-H-E-L-C-I-E Ross.
Chelsea Ross. I need to look him up on IMDb because I feel like I know him from other things, but I just don't know what I know him from.
Sheila Miller.
So he is.
Oh, it's is she What's His Bucket's dad? No, that's Millstone.
Sorry, I just got a spoiler.
You know what? For a minute, I was mad, and then I realized I should have told you not to go to IMDb. That's on me.
That's it's okay. On
me. I apologize.
I was trying to find out where else I know him from. But it's okay.
Sorry,
it wasn't that big of a spoiler. It wasn't that big of a spoiler. Should I just tell you what the spoiler is right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure I know it, but go ahead.
It's that the guy is in two episodes of Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
So he comes back. I guess I don't know where else this guy is from, but he was in an episode of Tales from the Crypt. That's funny. He was in Hoosiers. Okay. That's cool.
He has like kind of generic old man vibes, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. I was just trying to see if he... Oh, he was in Rudy. Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to see. I thought he looked like he's got a familiar person to him. Like maybe it was another TV show. Oh, Everybody Loves Raymond, maybe? It's only one fucking episode. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Drag Me to Hell. This guy has a lot. This guy has got range.
He's busy. He's busy, busy. Oh, okay. Spoilers for How to Get Away with Murder. If you intend to watch it, I'm going to give you some time to hit the little skippity skip, probably twice, because I'm going to explain to Carmen who this woman was in How to Get Away with Murder and its intense spoilies. So,
because I've watched this show. By now.
Do you remember when Bonnie dates Ron Miller and he, you know?
Yes. It's what a hold on. What a sad fucking story.
Yeah, I know. It's a bummer.
Ugh.
That's his mom. So after he, you know, and then Bonnie goes and keeps visiting her over and over again. So that's why she was in How to Get Away with Murder so many times. Sad. Okay.
So I watched that show. No spoilers. No spoilers. I watched all of How to Get Away with Murder and all of Scandal prior to watching all of Grey's. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, How to Get Away with Murder was a weird, sad, dark, awesome show.
Every fucking emotion you could picture.
Like, that show was nuts. I remember every single episode, almost, it felt like by the end of the episode, I was standing up with the cliffhanger that it gave you. Anyways, all right. So, Kelsey, if I could give you the Harper Avery Award, I would. Oh,
thank you so much. Yeah, for what?
You're welcome. For being my friend.
Oh, okay. It's a medical award, but I appreciate the sentiment.
Well, being my friend is kind of a medical thing. You're my emotional support friend.
You have so many of this.
All right. Where do you want to start now? Do you want to start with... I feel like I want to talk about lung transplant guy and the relationship with Christina and Teddy and Hunt and Teddy and Arizona and Teddy and Christina and... I said Christina and Teddy already.
Lexi. Christina and Lexi get to hang out in this episode, which I feel like we don't see enough of because I'm into it.
Really and... am. Again, I need to say this. I need to say this in every episode, I think. Lexi looks great as a blonde. I'm here for it. She looks just hot.
Yeah. Because
she does look... she doesn't just look hot. She is hot. Is saying someone looks hot and saying someone is hot the difference equivalent to saying I want to apologize and saying I apologize?
No, because I think like... potentially if someone doesn't look hot all of the time and then they like get really dolled up and then they look hot, but like it's not the norm.
So they're not hot, they just look hot.
Well, I don't want to say that because it feels mean, but that is what I'm saying, I think.
Okay.
I'm not terribly sure what I'm saying at this point, if I'm being honest.
It's okay.
Speaking words. It's much all right. Like Carmen does often.
It's all right. You know, I think we've gotten a lot of grace with our listenership because they know that at the deep down core of our being, our vaginas and our penises are good people.
Your heart is in your penis.
My heart is in my penis. I've got a heart on.
That one was funny.
Thank you.
Okay.
I think I stole that from somewhere. I'm not going to take full credit for it, but I just need to use it and thankfulness for my timing, not my creativity, I guess.
Okay. Let's say we're going to start with Christina talking to Owen about this surgery that she did with Teddy, and it was like amazing, and it was like everything. She was on fire. Christina's on fire. The whole R is on fire. Like, Christina's just so hyped. She loves learning from Teddy. Teddy's a great teacher for her, and Owen is like, wow, I can't believe, like, I'm glad for you. I'm glappy.
Where's Tingo?
Put it on a shirt. So I'm happy you all are friends. And Christina says, you know, I didn't ever ask you not to be her friend. I'm fine if you're her friend, and I would love it if you were her friend. So be her friend. You're making it weird for everybody. So Owen's like, oh, okay. I make lasagna. And so there's some stuff in between, I guess. But
yeah, you jumped the gun just a little bit.
Yeah, I skipped most of the episode. And so then Christina... Sorry, backtrack. Arizona goes to Teddy and she's like, I need your help on a case. But first of all, I keep noticing that you are drooling over Owen just constantly everywhere. Home, hospital, OR, ER, just everywhere, just leering at this man.
And I've noticed it since Christmas.
Yeah.
She noticed on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't subtle, Teddy.
No.
And Arizona's just the first person who's calling you out on it.
Verbally out loud says, I have to fix people, which is a clinical problem that she should probably seek help for. But it's coming from a good spot. You know, she's a good person.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she says, I really want to be your friend. Come out with me and Callie. We'll see if Bailey wants to go. We'll do girls' night. Like, say yes. Teddy says yes. And she's like, great. Now that's out of the way. Come help me with my patient who needs a lung transplant. Sidebar, Alex is like, hey, I'd love to get in on that. And Arizona says, hey, absolutely not. You fucked my girlfriend. And Alex is like, dude, that was 3 years ago. And Arizona then threatens to hit him with a brick.
Didn't love that. For the most part, Arizona has stayed above the fray on all things jealousy. Mm-hmm. And honestly, for the most part, Teddy did for a long time too. But apparently it's okay to let personal feelings interfere with people's medical careers now.
Right.
So, I don't stand that, Arizona, but you know what? You've got a lot of, positive, clout that you've built up over these last couple of episodes and months that we've been, getting to meet you. So I'll give you a pass this one time, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair.
Yeah. At least you're not yelling at Alex.
I appreciate the upfront honesty, right? It's not like what Mark is doing where he's just pretending he doesn't like Alex all of a sudden and then throwing him out of rooms for no reason. Arizona is saying like, you know, I simply cannot work with you right now. I'm very jealous. And, leave me alone. Again, not great, but better between the two. Alex is having a hard time. Alex is having a hard episode.
Can we also acknowledge that he really doesn't fight back anything this episode?
Yeah.
He doesn't push back with Arizona. He's like, okay, that was 3 years ago, but all right. And the difference, I think, is she didn't kick him off of her service.
Right.
She just didn't invite him on for this particular thing.
Right.
So that really wasn't vengeful, I don't think. It wasn't great, but it wasn't vengeful. Mark is actively walking into a room where Alex is saying, get the fuck out of here, you piece of horse shit.
As though you've done something wrong by exist.
Yeah. You had sex with a girl I'm not dating anymore. Yep. How dare you?
Mm-hmm.
We were on a break!
That's true. And so then... so then she's like, let's do this. Like, I need your help on this case for this lung transplant. Cause this kid has like beat cancer, but he's on all these other issues. And this kid has really had like a rough go of it as well. It's just him and his sister apparently,
which I did not know originally. I thought that it was his girlfriend and I was like, this girl needs to back off. It makes more sense how protective she was when I realized that was, I must've just missed that while I was typing notes or something.
Yeah, I'm trying to... Leukemia and lymphoma, when the lymphoma went into remission, developed pulmonary fibrosis as a side effect to the treatment, considered high risk for a lung transplant. So they're basically like, you're not going to get Yunos lungs, essentially. Like, you're simply not going to do that. I'm so sorry. Like, that's just... And the sister is very... like on his side, and she's like, that's not fair. Like, he's fought so hard and you're just going to let him die from this other thing. Like, this fucking sucks. And I agree. She's correct. She was rude first, but she's correct.
Yeah.
And so, Lexi brings up to Teddy, the ex vivo lung situation. Christina obviously overhears, immediately butts in and is like, I would love to help with that. And Teddy's like, interestingly enough, we're not doing it. So nothing for you to help with. But thank you for your time.
Yeah. And also, didn't you just get embarrassed in front of Harper Avery?
Yeah.
And how did you hear about that?
You made fun of me.
I love Lexi.
So there's definitely a weird dynamic between Teddy and Christina and the concept of a Harper Avery Award in this episode.
Yeah.
So let's unpack that a little bit, because we've seen it echoes the time when Christina and Owen, like before they really knew each other. And he's like, you don't give a shit about patients. You just want awards. And then she says, you know, my dad died when I was 9. Like I felt his heart stop beating, blah, 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 all this stuff. It reminded me of that without the resolution of that.
Yeah.
So that was kind of weird to me. It felt a little off.
Well, here's my, oh, go ahead.
No, you're fine. You go.
Here's my opinion on that. I think the resolution that we got from the Christina and Owen conversation in the past is that even if the awards are your end goal, mm-hmm. that means to gain that award, you have to do a lot of really cool, hard work, and you're gonna have to save some lives along the way. You don't get these awards by killing people. You get these awards by doing ultimately the right thing. And I think that's where I have a hard time with this episode is Teddy as a teacher should have had that conversation. They do touch on it a little bit where she's like, you only want this for the wrong reasons. You only want this for awards.
Your priorities are bad.
Right. And you can have that conversation and say, your priority can be both. You can want the award and you could want to do the right thing. It's like in baseball. People talk all the time about how they don't want to win an MVP award if the ultimate, you know, goal is to win a World Series. That's true. You can be the best player in the entire world and not win the World Series, and it's going to suck. But to be the best in the world and to win that award,
yeah,
the MVP, you have to be really, really fucking good. You got to be better than everyone else in the game for an entire year. And I think Christina can do both. I think she can really want to help people, and I think she's come a long way with her emotional intelligence, and she can want to win awards. I don't think that Teddy was right to shame her for that.
Yeah. I also am like, I don't know if I've said this before. At the end of the day, it is a positive for someone. Like, it saves someone's life.
Yeah.
So I don't think the motivation is bad. It's like when really rich people or huge corporations make big donations to charities so that they don't have to pay taxes or pay the same. They get a tax write-off.
Yeah.
Do I love that loophole in the tax system? No. Do I love that people who need help are getting help? Yes. So the motivation might be poor, but like the end result is good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's kind of like that to me where I'm like, at the end of the day, A, it's a pretty big medical breakthrough that can potentially save a lot of people. And it saved this guy right now who without this was going to have no lung transplants. And when they do that lung transplant, his lungs that they take out look like garbage in a bowl. Like they look as though they are the lungs of a 90-year-old person who has smoked 3 packs of cigarettes every single day since they were 12.
Yeah.
I mean, they are black.
Atrocious.
I got the black lung paw. They are so black.
For all of you out there listening, name that movie. We're good. I know what movie it is.
Okay. Who's calling me? 7-7. Go away. Maybe it's the dentist. I'm taking my children to the dentist tomorrow morning. It's probably going to be a nightmare. Michael and I are both going together because we're taking both kids. So we decided it needed to be a tag team effort.
That's fair.
So fingers crossed. Scarlett is very nervous. Bennett is just going to be mad. I already know it. Anyways,
you got this.
Thank you so much. So, they ultimately save this guy. It's weird that Teddy is so hesitant to do it. Like she doesn't even. Okay. So the motorcycle guy is an organ donor. They immediately reject his lungs because she says, which I didn't know the statistic before, 85% of lung for organ donations get thrown out because they are like not viable after the like process of getting ready to be, I don't know. There's some issue where the
that's a crazy stat.
Lungs for organ donation, at least in 2010, if we're to believe the show, was really low. And so the fact that they're going to throw these lungs out anyways, why? I think the if Teddy is mad simply because, like Christina said, oh, Teddy told me to do this, then that's valid. If she's mad because Christina did it, I don't think that's valid, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it's at the end of the day, she's doing medical research. And I don't know if you know this, Teddy, but it's a fucking teaching hospital.
Damn it.
So just like let her learn.
Yeah, it's I think the you're distinguishing two very important pieces to define is what is she mad at? Is she mad at Christina for wanting to do something cool, or is she mad that she used her name when she wouldn't have, when she shouldn't have? So yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that like that.
Yeah, it's just I don't really know. I mean, so
also Lexi in that moment goes, "It's being green again." So now she has a catchphrase.
Recycling.
Recycling. We love that.
So yes, they, you know, and the ex vivo treatment is successful. Also, I looked up ex vivo and it is just means outside of the body. So sometimes it is like this where they take the donor organ, do something to it, and then put it in a new person. And sometimes it's like they could take your spleen, take it out of your body, fix it, and put it back. Although that would be stupid because you don't actually need a spleen. But, you know, something else. They could like take out
like
your,
a heart.
Yeah. And like fix it and then put it back in. Or something, you know, it just means outside of the body. Whatever the procedure that they're doing is done outside of the body. They are successful. This procedure up until this point has only been done in Canada and Sweden, I believe is what they said.
Yeah.
And then the sister gets really mad and she's like, no, he doesn't deserve Goodwill lungs. He deserves fresh lungs. And they're like,
yeah, that was a weird, like you're getting lungs.
Yeah.
They're lungs.
I kind of see where she's coming from. If she has, I mean, I think his
no medical training.
Yeah. But the point that he makes is good. He's like, you're so used to fighting that you don't see this as like you don't understand that this actually is a victory, because like your go to mode for like on his behalf is just to like fight for him to get.
Yeah.
Quote unquote, the best. And if it's not what she believes to be the best, then she's going to fight. And I understand where she's coming from. I also understand that she's wrong in this scenario, at least. And so they say, you know, is this a good idea? And Daddy's like, it's your only shot to live. So yeah, it's probably a good idea. So they do it. They take him off of bypass when they put the lungs on, and it's like very cliffhangery. And then it cuts to them talking to the girl in the lobby, and they make you really think that he died, but like obviously he lived.
They really, man, then they're just sitting there, she's crying, and they're just sitting there straight face, and I'm like,
and she's
wow.
Like, I have spent the last 5 hours telling myself that my brother is dead, and you're gonna tell me that he's alive? Amazing! Woohoo!
Also, the music was kind of all over the place in this episode. Did you notice that?
I did a little bit, yeah.
I've been trying to hone in
like
a little bit more.
Circus-y.
Yeah, I'm like, because it would change on a dime, and I'm like, oh gosh, this is jarring. I don't know what's happening here.
Yeah, it's you know.
Yeah, and he lived. The boy who lived.
The boy who lived. Come to die.
I need to go watch that meme after that. I got to watch that video.
No.
You know what I'm talking about? Where he starts, where he starts with a little stick and he goes, and the stick gets a little bit bigger and he goes, and then it gets to a giant stick and he's just going.
Have you ever watched the Honest trailers?
I have. I don't know if I've watched them for
Deathly Hallows is my favorite one for sure.
I'll have to watch that.
Oh my God. It's so funny. Let me know if you do. Okay.
They've got good Star Wars ones too.
Ooh, okay. Sorry. I just had a chill. Okay. So yeah, that storyline ended up being good. Did you actually think he was going to die at any point?
I thought when they took the lung off bypass, I thought, oh, they're going to take the easy way out. It just didn't work.
Well, because it didn't work. And Teddy gets really mad and Christina's like, well, what if you try this? And Teddy says, no, but I can try this other thing. Basically, like Christina like kind of gets her to the realization of what she can do, which they have to some kind of graft or something or another patch. And
which was a good scene. Yeah. I like that scene a lot because Christina's like, hey, just do this. Like, we can make this work.
Yeah.
Because she's talking to herself a little bit. And Teddy's like, excuse me, bitch. You got something to say? Yeah. Does the classroom have something to say?
And from the peanut gallery.
Yeah. And then she says it. And then she's like, okay, actually, that idea is stupid. But actually, I have the correct idea.
But that does make me think of this other thing that's not stupid. So, yeah. So, and they work together to do it.
It's kind of a cute resolution to that.
They definitely have an interesting dynamic because they'll like push back on each other, but at the end of the day they still like each other, which I appreciate. And so and then they tell the girl, they definitely make you think, oh, it's bad, it's not gonna work, oh, it is gonna work, oh, it didn't work, oh, it did work. So we're all over the place with Elliot.
It's very interesting because we get the realization. Well, let me backtrack, because this dude, the motorcycle dude, you think he's going to be a pivotal part of this in some way. You don't realize.
He kind of is, but also he is.
But you don't realize
Percy
it's just for.
Percy will not shut up about him, though.
Yeah. It's just for the lung harvesting, apparently. And when they're in the room watching the surgery and Charles walks over and is like standing there and Christina's got to be making a weird comment, calls him Bigfoot. And he's like, what? All the nicknames. Fuck it. I'm Bigfoot now. I'm going to take this into my advantage now because you know what they say about guys with big feet. So shut your mouth. Yeah. And she's like, oh, sorry about your motorcycle, dude. And he's like, why? I kept that heartbeat pumping and we got organs. So I feel good. And she's like, oh, you got organs? I got to go. Oh,
motherfucking light bulb.
Light bulb. So, yeah, you don't expect that the dude who slips and falls and creates a whole legal rigmarole to start this episode is going to end up being the lung transplant guy to save Arizona's patient. That's good writing. I like it.
Yeah.
So, wanted to call that out. Anything else you want to shout out with specifically Teddy? And Christina, Teddy and...
No, I don't think so. Just the end scene, but we'll get there. We'll get there after we wrap up. I guess we could do that now.
Well, we could. I was also going to talk about... Arizona calls it Girls' Night. Teddy calls it Ladies' Night.
Yeah.
Which I thought was funny. And I also have a lot of thoughts about that final scene, which I loved. But I like that Teddy, so Hunt comes and invites her over. She's like, I make a mean lasagna. Let's do dinner sometime. Like, I would love that.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, cool. Like, they're friends. They kind of have a cute scene. It's awkward, but not so cringy that it's uncomfortable to watch. It's just like two people who are like really kind of trying and they don't know how to try. It wasn't uncomfortable. And they talk about Christina and Teddy's like, well, Christina did amazing, but don't tell her I said that or I'll kill you. And before this, you're having Arizona and Teddy are talking, and she's like, hey, just so you know, it's bad to ditch plans on girls' night when they invite you out, blah, blah, blah. And then she doesn't. Hunt invites her out, wants to grab a beer, and Teddy's like, actually, I got plans with my girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I like that she doesn't ditch her plans for a boy.
But there is still kind of like the scene at the end. It does seem kind of like they're getting closer to being friends again.
Yeah, I like that. And what were your thoughts looking at the girls' night scene, watching the girls' night scene?
I love when Arizona's like, why can't we go dancing? And Callie's like, but we voted and you lost. Get over it. They're back at the ball fields. We love this energy. So it's Meredith, Christina, Lexi, Callie, Arizona, Teddy, Bailey. Is that everybody? Yeah. And they're putting on the helmet. They're doing the ball machine. They're hitting those baseballs. It's fun. It's a good time. Stress relief. Everybody's having a nice time. And it ends with some just like terribly CGI'd shot of that baseball coming right at the camera.
Yeah.
For no reason whatsoever. But I do love it still.
So a couple of thoughts I have. I just want to, I am going to rip that scene apart too. Let me get there. So Christina very cutely is like, I think I'm in love with Teddy. I think I love this person. and it's cute.
Or Meredith is like, you and Lexi and your inappropriate feelings for inappropriate people.
Yes. Oh, it's so funny. But it's also hilarious. I love that they come back to these batting cages, and also they're so poorly lit
at night again.
Yeah. And Bailey's sitting there and she hits just the worst ground ball and says, top that, Christina.
And all like, woohoo, she did it.
Yeah. And so when Teddy hits the ball, I just want to say, first off, I like that the CGI is showing us a baseball and not a softball. I like that they're keeping it because girls can play baseball. It doesn't have to be softball related. Okay. So that's thing number one. I respect that. Thing number two. Teddy hits a line drive and the angle off of the bat of that ball is much lower than that pop fly that they made that
direct
ball come
to the
at.
Camera.
I am concerned that these people who run a medical show don't understand physics. So that is my beef with that scene. But I understand it's kind of key. This is jumping the shark, everyone. This is jumping the shark for me. The story is no... Grey's Anatomy
that
is no longer believable.
Baseball going to the camera is jumping the shark.
Fonzie's rolling over in his... He's alive.
Yeah, he's alive.
Henry Winkler? Barry Winkler? Yeah. What's his first name? Henry.
Wasn't he Barry in Parks and Rec?
Maybe.
But he's Bob... Bob Law.
Bob Law. Bob Law.
He's in Arrested Development. He's a lawyer.
Bob blah blah blah.
What a fun show.
There's always money in the banana stand.
I could go for a frozen banana dipped in chocolate right now.
I might do that tonight, actually.
So
should we take a minute?
Yeah, let's.
Quick message from our regional sponsors.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And we are back.
Here we are to save the day.
All right. Kelsey, I'm going to break the fourth wall here. How are we on time?
Let's talk Alex and Lexi really quick. And then
let's do this.
The mom and daughter.
Let's do it. Let's run through this. We got this.
Okay, so opens Lexi in the bed.
Yes, love it.
Posing up real good. Mm. Decides at the very last moment to go full nude, no coverage, throws the covers off. Who opens the door but Derek?
Mm.
Mortified. Everybody's mortified. Meredith walks by and is like, what are you doing? And she's like, why are you and Alex sleeping together? And she's like, it's just for sexy times. And she says, you can't have feelings for Alex. He's like, I was 3 years ago. And Lexi says, oh, I don't have feelings for him. It's just sex. And Meredith says, well, your heart lives in your vagina, so you always have feelings. And then that scene is later mirrored with Christina, which is one of my favorite little like Meredith Christina moments in the entire series. And then
I
at the
love
end
that.
When they're like doing the little brain connecting.
Yeah.
I said that. Yeah, I love that one.
Lexi, you can have sex with Alex. Your heart lives in your vagina.
I said that.
And then later on in the episode when Christina says my heart lives in my scalpel, I thought that was cute too.
Yeah.
And so
A lot of good dialogue writing on this on this episode.
Solid
here.
One, solid one, yeah. For sure. And so then, you know, we have the whole episode of Mark just yelling at Alex, get the hell out, get out of this room with the CT scans, get out of this OR. Callie, thank God, calling Mark out on the attitude and being like, I understand that you're upset because Lexi broke up with you and Sloan left and you haven't heard from her. But like, you need to decide what this is going to mean for you, because I think she says like, this can either be the best or worst things that happen to you, because you can be this asshole that yells at people for no reason, or you can like get your life together and get what you want, which is like a family. And like, you're entitled to have that, but you have to go find it. You can't just walk around screaming at people and having sex with everybody that moves near you. Which
apparently you can, I guess.
Yeah. And so Mark and Lexi, or sorry, rather Alex at some point says to Lex, she comes in to be excited about the lung case. And he says, did you tell Mark that we're sleeping together? Because I can't have you messing with my career to make him jealous. And Lexi's like, no, I actually just slept with you because I felt like it. And I'm sick of feeling things and you make me not feel. And Alex is like, cool. Same. I love not feeling. Would you like to go not feel together right now?
For the next 20 minutes. Yeah.
And they do.
Well, I also want to talk about this, the lead up to that. He asks her about the Mark thing. And when she answers, honestly, he goes, yeah, right. I hate when people have their mind made up to the question they're asking before. Just let them answer the question and then just believe the truth. If you have a follow-up question, be an adult and ask follow-up curious questions.
Or if you could say,
questions.
Well, he's been treating me like this all day. Do you know why that would be?
Correct.
Well, she did tell him that they had slept together. She just didn't say, I'm currently fucking him.
It was on the heels of him saying he boned Addison. So really, it wasn't a big deal. Mark is in the wrong.
Oh, and then he tries to play it off to Derek. He's like, oh, you don't sleep with another man's girl. I learned that the hard way. And Derek's like, dude, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. He's like, oh, we're going there.
You didn't learn shit. You still slept with her again and again and again. Like 2 weeks ago, you were fucking her.
Yeah. Gosh.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And so my favorite thing about Mark in this episode, though, is it is funny because Derek's like, you will not have sex with drug reps in my hospital. And Mark is like, okay, Captain. So he goes and has
sex with a nurse. And then Derek's like, don't sleep with the nurses in the hospital. And he's like, I will sleep with the patient's family in the hospital.
Man. And Callie even said, don't you fucking think about it, dude.
Don't you sleep with that woman.
And he does. And he does.
So fucking does.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities between Mark and I. And this is not one of them.
Okay. I was like,
I don't want to have sex with that many people in one day in a closet, you know, in the hospital where I work.
Yeah.
No sex with people at my place of employment.
Good. Good rule. Good rule. And so, but then at the end, it kind of seems like Mark is going to heed Callie's advice, you know, and he's going to not be a turd anymore. He finds Alex and he says, like, I'm going to stop yelling at you. I'm not going to kick you off surgery anymore. I'm sorry. Whilst he's in the middle of that, Lexi also comes out of the on-call room, very clearly getting dressed
and out of breath,
triggers Mark to be like, oh, wait, I do need to be sad and be a turd. So he just turns and walks away, and that's when he goes and sleeps with the woman's daughter.
And he can be sad and be a turd, but you don't need to be a turd in a mean way.
Yeah.
Consensual sex with another person is not mean. It is not making a good thing for your friend who just told you to not do it. And it's also not good to continue to have sex at the hospital that your best friend runs and he's asking you not to do this shit. But also, you're not being mean to people. So I guess, you know, just don't be mean is the moral of the story.
Yeah, agreed. Don't be mean. So then, he goes and sleeps with that woman and he's still sad. It solves none of his problems. So good times.
Same time tomorrow.
The woman who comes in the ER with the car crash, they are doing the CT to make sure she doesn't have any like brain bleeds or something. And they have Mark look at the scan and he immediately realizes that she's deaf because she has bone growth in her inner ear, which I just don't think that there is a reason for a bone to be growing in your middle ear. So it does make sense that that would make a person deaf. But yeah, what? He immediately diagnoses that. He says he can fix it. He yelled at Alex when he came in. They tell him to calm down. He says something about screwing everybody. Derek's like, stop doing that. I'll fire you. And then he says he can fix the ear. And then he yells at Derek again. And he's like, you still want to fire me? He's just like on one this episode.
He's on not multiple.
Yeah.
It is funny. So when the mom comes in, they're yelling at each other. And this is also the lady goes, what are they doing, Jim? When the guy is a motorcycle guy is just exploding. It's blood everywhere. So God, I can't believe they slipped with that motherfucker. They really set that guy up like it was going to be a big plot point for this episode. And it was.
Yeah.
Not.
Like, yeah.
Anyways, also the legal thing lasted 3 minutes.
Yeah. Also that guy was in, okay. They pushing the gurney, they slip and fall, pick up the gurney, push it into the doors. Legal's already there. Really?
new term ambulance, new ambulance chaser definition.
There is such poor communication in this fucking hospital in every way possible. And you're going to tell me that in the time it took that EMT to slip, fall, pick up the gurney and roll it into the hospital, someone told legal and already Gary is there ready to take a statement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
No. Well, we're not selling it, people. We are
someone is, and I'm not into it.
I like that they're yelling at each other. It's kind of just a funny dynamic. And she's like, she won't get hearing aids. She won't learn sign language. She won't do blah, 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 blah. But when she comes out of the surgery and Mark does it, and the daughter is sitting there like, man, I sacrificed so much. I took care of her, blah, blah, blah. And the mom's like, you hussy. I have been raising you and taking care of you because of your divorce and you needed a place to go and you had no one. I took care of you. And she's like, oh my God, mom, you said all these mean things, but you hear me now. So it's great. Yeah.
Let's go have sex with Mark.
Woohoo!
Party in Mark's pants.
Funny.
I don't know if we have really much more to say on that particular story. No, it was cute though. But yeah.
I liked them.
It was interesting. I feel like this might come off mean, and I don't mean it to, but this woman is not the typical person that Mark sleeps with because she's like age appropriate. And he mostly sleeps with people other than Addison, I guess, who are like wildly younger than he is.
Also, this girl, she can still get it though. She is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mean to say that she's ugly. It's just surprising because it's not like, you know, the typical people.
Right.
Also,
she's not the drug rep and she's not the nurse.
Speaking on the drug rep, after Derek walks in on naked Lexi, he then walks in to Mark, like actively fucking this drug rep and says, why is this my morning? And I do feel for him because I have to imagine that is not the way you want to start any day.
Well, the second one, no. Watching people have sex probably is not a great way to start the day, but walking in on an attractive woman who's naked, ain't mad about it.
That you're not meant to see naked, and your wife is also right there, and also she's related to your wife.
It's just a pleasant surprise.
I don't know that it is.
I'm telling
you. Looking down at your penis. Garmin just looked down at his penis and then looked back up to say, it is a pleasant surprise.
First off, I understand the perception that that may feel like to you right now, but I was looking at this piece of the camera that I broke. So.
Okay, let's rate it and then make some predictions. Or is there anything we haven't discussed that we need to talk about?
Yeah, let me just do a quick look through here. So it's just that opening dialogue when they're saying that your heart lives in your vagina. It's just so funny. It's just so fucking funny. I do like this. This really for sure set apart the way that I like Meredith and Christina's relationship. And when they are like, oh, that's what I said.
Yeah.
That was just really, that was cool.
Yeah.
I think I just want to point out that I like that it talks about how the point with Callie where she tells Mark off, and then she also tells him to not sleep with the patient.
Yeah.
The patient's daughter. Not that he listened to the second part, but it does show that Callie really is an important part of his life, even if he's like, well, you don't put out. And Callie's like, I'm in a committed relationship. So, like, yes, there's a reason. So, yeah, I like their relationship.
Yeah, I do feel like that goes to the point of, like, when you have a best friend, they can call you out on something and you won't get mad about it because, like, they wouldn't say it if it weren't true and if it weren't something you needed to hear. She's not saying it to hurt him. She's saying it because he needs to be told.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think other than being surprised in the first couple of minutes that Weber actually took the job and is having to do regular drug tests, I wanted to make sure I pointed that out.
Well, you had predicted next episode, so you were just one off.
Yeah. And, yeah, I think that's all I got. I think we actually got through all of our notes. We did not do a lot of bantering this episode. I think that's probably... We have a... Fuck. Should we just talk about it next episode? There was a new review that I wanted to call out. Should we just do it next episode?
You can do it now.
Okay. This review is from Aurora Ken. And the title is Great Grays Podcast, but it starts with, in parentheses, I'm so sorry, it's a 4-star with little hands over the eyes.
That's actually so funny. Like, I laughed so hard that whoever this is, I appreciate you so much. And we are not angry at you like we are angry at Clara. But that is actually so funny that you apologize because you know we're going to be assholes about it.
Yeah, Clara can kick rocks. But Ken, you're still fine with us. Hopefully you'll update that and amend it to a 5-star someday. I love this podcast. The concept of having one person who's watched Grey's Anatomy before and one who hasn't is genius. I'm a first-time Grey's watcher, so it's nice. Carmen and Kelsey have great chemistry and are hilarious. I like all the little details they talk about. The only con I can see people having with this podcast is if you like structured, straight-about-the-topic podcasts. Sometimes the first 10 minutes are Kelsey and Carmen just talking about life. In the beginning, I would skip the first 10 minutes, lol, but now I love banter between them. They really grow on you. So I'm going to take that,
Ken.
I'm going to take
that as a win. Guys.
Yeah, give us a chance.
We'll wear you down.
It's funny because we started this podcast very to the point, and here we are 2 hours in as opposed to 45 minutes, which is what it was in the past, which is, I'm not mad about it. All right, let's rate it.
This one's hard. I think it's a 4.7 for me.
Tell me why.
Well, I like the reveal, obviously. Loved the connection that we see build between Meredith and Jackson. Just cool to like that Harper Avery is no longer just like this general concept like floating around, but an actual like concrete person. There it is. And and like what that means for the hospital, the furthering of the Christina and Teddy relationship, I really like. Richard, good episode for Richard. Gotta give it, you know, big ups to Derek this episode. Don't say that often, but you know, he earned it. So good on him. And what about you?
I really wanted this episode to be a 5.
Yeah.
It's not
in that moment. That reveal is a 5.
That reveal
is like a 10.
That reveal. Oh yeah. That reveal is a 10 out of 5.
Yeah.
I really do mean it. I did not see that coming. And, I love that happened. I think I got to just go with like a 4.85. Mm-hmm. It's better than a 4.8, but it's not a 4.9. And there just wasn't, I think for me, the misdirect kind of frustrated me a little bit with the motorcycle guy. I was like, oh my gosh, they dropped this guy. How is this going to affect his treatment plan? He's dead. So yeah.
It's going to pretty negatively affect it.
Yes. And legal's involved. So yeah, I don't think there was a ton of like drama on that. There's a lot of really cool writing, a lot of chemistry, a lot of story universe building that I really liked, but there wasn't like a ton of, I mean, I guess if you consider the ex vivo machine like that, like, or ex vivo on the lung transplant, but
yeah.
So, and then I guess Harper Avery watching his own fucking surgeries like a madman.
Yeah. I guess that's true.
So anyways, I think a 4.85 for me. Although if anyone out there is like, this is a 5, please let us know via email at graysacademypod@gmail.com.
Yeah. Okay, make some predictions.
I predict that Harper Avery comes back for one more episode.
Okay, well, that was on me. All right. What about, what do you think with Jackson? I guess we'll start there.
I think maybe he's going to leave. I think he is going to leave. I don't know when, but it makes sense. If this is the start of like kind of rebuilding that relationship with his grandpa, I think he's going to leave. I don't know when, but he will leave.
Yeah. So what about April, Alex? I'm sorry, not April. Lexi, Alex, Mark.
What I want is for Mark to get his head out of his ass and tell Lexi mm-hmm. how he feels. Because right. Sloan is out of the picture. There's no reason that they aren't together now. Yeah, Mark screwed up and made a decision unilaterally.
If he is like, if he wants a kid now, which is what he's saying, and she doesn't, then I do feel like, I don't know. To me, I'm like, that's a feels like a normal reason that people would maybe not be together.
I guess. But I want them to be together. I'm predicting that they won't. I predict that Alex and Lexi are going to keep having sex.
Okay. Christina, Teddy, Owen.
I think that Teddy and Hunt are going to try to have a friendship and they're going to end up kissing.
Okay.
And it's going to break up Christina and him. But I really want there to be platonic friendships. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. Arizona and Cali.
I just love them. That's all. I have no good prediction times. For them. I just like them a lot.
I'm not opposed to that. That's a good feeling.
I predict Weber is going to get his mojo back. And I'm going to go on record here. I predict that Weber will not relapse in the entirety of Grey's Anatomy. He will never, ever have a drink again.
Okay.
Run it. Count it.
I think that might be it. Do you have any other predictions that you need to make that I'm not mentioning?
No, but I hope next episode Bailey and Warren smush their booties together.
Okay. What about the missing merger people?
I don't know.
Where are they with Kate Middleton?
They haven't been seen since Christmas. Who does that make Charles? Does that make Charles the king? He just pops it and he's like, I'm alive.
I don't fucking know. I mean, Charles is the king.
This was not by accident, people. This is not a drill. That's all I got. Let's call it an episode. You go pick up your doggy.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for listening to us banter. If you know where Kate Middleton is, please tell me. We appreciate you guys listening and sharing. Please continue to share. Make sure you're following us on everything. You can email graysacademypod@gmail.com. You can join our Patreon, which will get you access to our Discord, Grey's Academy Pod. Patreon.com/graysacademypod. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, remember,
no spoilies, no spoilers. Don't even think about it. But I do plan on winning the Harper Avery Award someday, just like my friend Kelsey here. We appreciate you all, and we will see you all in the next one.